in Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God."
I want to start with just a couple questions. First question. Now, don't just let the question gloss over you and just keep going on. I want you to think about this for a second. Who do you admire? Who do you admire? Maybe for a lot of our young children, it could be a particular singer, an artist. Maybe it's, you know, the way they dress or carry themselves, their vocal talents. Maybe a spectacular athlete, maybe a political hero. You think highly of this person. You'd want to be around them. You might like to meet them. You might like to talk to them. Well, the Gallup poll releases the most admired people lists. And let me give you a couple from the last century. These are the most admired people of the 20th century. I'll just give the top two. So here's number one. Any surprise? It's Mother Teresa, right? You served the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India, before her influence then spread nearly across the globe, almost globally, her influence. Widely admired. Number two, Martin Luther King Jr., who fought fiercely but peacefully for equal rights. And I'll give you one of my own, just personal. You may or may not know this person. This is just more recently. But some of you may know that person. That's Pat Tillman. I really admired him. He was a football player for the Arizona Cardinals who turned down a $9 million contract after 9/11 to enlist in the Army, fought in Operation Iraqi Freedom, became an Army Ranger, and was eventually killed while fighting for his country in Afghanistan. See, I was impressed by his courage. I was impressed by his conviction, by his selflessness, by his commitment to his cause. Very much the same reasons probably we're impressed by Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King Jr. and other people that we're impressed by, or that we admire. Courage, conviction, selflessness, commitment to a cause. Those are things worthy of admiration. Next question. Go beyond who do you admire. Let me ask you the next question. Who do you follow? Who do you follow? Is there a role model? Someone you say, I want to pattern my... Now, I don't mean college students, younger... I don't mean who you follow on Twitter. Let's just clarify that. I don't mean who you follow on Vine. We're talking, who do you really follow? Your role model. I want to pattern my life after this person. I see where they're going. I see how they get there. That's how I'm going to live my life. Is there a diet or a fitness guru? For those of you who've tried Insanity, Sean T, he's my idol. I want to be a follower of Sean T. If he says do it, I'm doing it, even if it kills me. If he says eat this, I'm eating it, even if I don't like it. I'm going to get results. I'm going to be a follower. How about a political hero? You believe in your candidate so much that it's not just admiration, but you support, you give money, you stump, you drum up support from others, you attend rallies, you make phone calls, you do whatever it takes. You're invested, and you're not just an admirer, you follow. If you act on your admiration, you might be classified as a follower. See, an admirer is impressed. A follower is devoted. An admirer applauds, a follower surrenders his life. An admirer is moved, A follower is moved to action. A lot of people admired Mother Teresa. Not many followed her into poverty, into working with the destitute and the dying. A lot of people admired Martin Luther King. Some marched with him. Not many went to jail with him. A lot of people admired Pat Tillman. Not many left the comfort of their jobs or their lives to follow him into the military. While an admirer keeps himself personally detached, a follower is or strives to be what he admires. So, next question. Are you an admirer of Jesus? A fan, so to speak? Or are you a follower? Let's pray as we begin to look at this topic for today. Father God, I pray that you would truly convict our hearts this morning. You are worthy of our admiration, our praise, our worship. But more than that, you are worthy of being followed, of us turning our lives over to you. Teach us and convict us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. See, Jesus was unambiguous himself about what he wanted. He never said, come, be my admirer. I want you to love what I teach. No, he was a teacher and the crowds did admire him, but that's never what he wanted. It's never what he asked for. He didn't ask for admirers. He didn't seek adherence to a teaching. He didn't even ask for worshipers. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You want to come after me? Don't admire me. Take up your cross daily. Submit yourself to me daily. Give up yourself, your desires, your wants, your ways daily and follow me. He called disciples. He wanted followers of a life, his life. See in Matthew what Jesus asked. Take a couple passages here. Matthew 4:19. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He's speaking to the early disciples as he wants to bring them to himself. He says, follow me. Just come and be mine. Now, we take it for granted. Hey, follow me. Just let's do this. What he's saying is, give up your livelihood. Give up your fish, your nets, your boats, all the worldly possessions you had. Everything they had was invested in what they were doing. This was everything. Give it all up. Follow me. It's implied in Jesus' call to them. Matthew 8:22, and Jesus said to him, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. Let the spiritually dead bury themselves, but come find life by following me. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus passed from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. Here's the amazing little verse. And he rose and followed him. We're going to talk more about Matthew in just a little bit. Matthew 10:37-38. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Doesn't say take up his cross and admire me. In each case, Jesus asked the admirer to follow him. And Jesus' call on you and me is the same. Following Jesus means that we literally go where Jesus goes. We follow God's will for our lives. In Luke 9 this morning, Chris read for us a story of three admirers who approached Jesus. We're going to look just at the first for a little bit. In verse 57 of Luke 9, the first admirer comes and he says, it says in Scripture, Luke 9:57, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. I will follow you wherever. That sounds awesome. That's the right thing to say, right? I'll follow you wherever. Wherever you go, I'm there. Whatever you do, I'm doing. I'm with you. Very impressive. He understands what Jesus wants. He says, I'm going to do it. What Jesus wants, I will do. Sounds like a follower to me. No restrictions, no boundaries, no borders, wherever. And we read the passage. Chris read it for us this morning. Jesus turns to this man who says, wherever you go, wherever. And Jesus turns and says, hey, brother, I'm homeless. What more is said in the account of this first man? Nothing. Nothing is said. He says, wherever. Christ says, how about here? Seemingly, the man slinks away, rescinds his offer, and doesn't follow. We don't know. I don't want to conjecture that, but seemingly, that's the case. The words are impressive. But he says, I will follow you wherever. And Jesus' response is, what about there? How about you and me? No doubt you've sat here and sang these words. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Impressive sounding. You are the air I breathe. You are my all in all. And maybe you even sang with us this morning. I surrender all. As I said earlier, if you're like me, I sure hope you're not like me. Because if you are, then you're going to struggle with this. Being an admirer. Maybe we should rename the song, I Surrender Some. Because typically, that's what you and I are good at. We say, Jesus, I really admire his courage, his conviction, his commitment to his cause, his power, his selflessness. Do I really want to follow? I'll surrender some, even maybe, but surrendering all? I want to give you a list here in a second, but I want to take a moment just to convict your heart with my own failings, so to speak. Boy, I've really been convicted of this recently. I made a decision to give up some things in my life that were good things for the sake of some better things. And I don't want to go into too much detail for fear of implicating myself, but and others. I had the opportunity to do something that's right up my alley, absolutely right in my wheelhouse of my skill set, my strengths, my passion, and something and I love because it also involves my children. So I had a chance to come in and do something. I thought, man, I'm going to come in to this situation where something has existed and I wasn't really happy with it, and I'm going to turn this thing around. I'm going to come in like a house of fire, and this is going to be awesome. I'm going to use my skills, my strengths. Here we go. And it became very apparent right off the bat that when I approached this scenario, the people who were already involved weren't that enthusiastic about my participation. And so I had two choices. In my pride, I could go in, and I know I could bulldoze and have my way and take over and get exactly what I want. And the product I was looking for would come about, and that would make me look good. Now, I did have good motives for this, too, not just these, you know, prideful motives, but that was one way I could have done it. Or I could have been a follower of Christ. And as I prayed and listened to the wisdom from my spouse and God convicted my heart, it came down to, Brian, if you're going to be involved in this, guess what? I'm going to humble you. And I'm going to put you in a position where you don't have that authority. I don't want you to come bulldoze these people, because you may be the only representative of Community Bible Church, because they know I belong. You may be the only representative of Community Bible Church that these people come in contact with. Even more importantly, you may be the only representative of Christ that these people come in contact with. And you're going to come bulldoze them to get your goals. And so I was convicted. And my job is now to do the dirty work. I clean up. What can I do next? How can I set up the next thing? Can I help you with this? What can I do? How can I take care of this? When there's nothing going on, I manicure or take care of or help. I'm subterranean man, bottom of the barrel. But you know what? I've realized that for me to be a follower of Christ, for me to be a follower, I had to submit. I had to surrender my pride in this one particular instance. Now, I don't want to inflate myself because this is one area where I think there's been some victory and I hope there'll be fruit. But there are plenty of areas where I fail. There are plenty of areas where I fail. I'm sure there are some for you too. Do we struggle with surrendering as a follower of Christ, surrendering our pride? Do we struggle with surrendering our plans? Williams students, this is for you. I know you got it all figured out. 4 years at Williams. You know, then I'll study, you know, philosophy or theology or something that I really won't use later on. And then I'll go work on Wall Street. Or I'll become a construction manager somewhere or whatever it is that Williams kids go do. It's all figured out for you. You got your plans, but God may have something completely different in mind. He had something completely different in mind for Caleb Meow when he said, oh, I'm going to end up working staff at Williams College. That wasn't in his long-term plan. And here he is being responsive to God's call in his life. Are we surrendering our plans? Are we surrendering our selfish desires? What we want, when we want it, how we want it? Are we surrendering our lustful thoughts? Those thoughts that we have for things, for experiences? Are we surrendering, as a follower, our entertainment choices? The music we listen to, the programs we watch, the things we choose to do with our entertainment dollars, so to speak. Are we surrendering our money? Are we surrendering our time? I surrender some or all. Like the man in Luke 9, we are so quick to worship. I am so quick to worship and say wherever as an admirer. But when Jesus says, follow, and asks, what about there? Are there places we don't want there to be? Wherever, Lord, wherever. What about your home? What about your home? Will you be a follower in your home? Or do you carry your cross with you? I'm carrying it, Lord. And you get to the doorstep. Maybe you got a nice front porch. Okay, here it is. Now I enter my home. And instead of being patient at that point with my wife, husband, or spouse, kids, I'm irritated. I'm angry. Instead of submitting, I stand up for my rights. Instead of serving, God, this is my sanctuary. I sit around. Instead of being encouraging, I'm constantly critical. Instead of demonstrating respect, we disparage and demean. Maybe wife, maybe husband, maybe kids, even in front of others. I'll follow you wherever, Lord. What about at work? What about at work? Do we pull into the parking lot? Tuck Christ in the door? I'll see you at 5 when I get back. What about at work? Do we follow there? Do we justify greed by calling it ambition? I'm just pursuing the dream. I'm pursuing the ladder. I'm going to provide for my family. But I need more and more and more to do that. Do we rationalize dishonesty by calling it shrewd business? I'm a good businessman. Do we stay quiet about our faith at work and call it being tolerant? Wherever, Lord, I'll follow you wherever. What about my neighborhood? What about at my high school? What about at Williams? What about with my friends? What if God actually calls me into ministry? Soren Kierkegaard put it this way. The difference between an admirer and a follower still remains. The admirer never makes any true sacrifices. Though in words, phrases, songs, he is inexhaustible about how highly he prizes Christ, he renounces nothing, gives up nothing, will not reconstruct his life, will not be what he admires, and will not let his life express what it is he supposedly admires. An old African proverb put it this way, don't admire the flying bird until you know the pain of flapping. I like that one. Don't admire the flying bird until you know the pain of flapping. Being a follower is not just saying, oh, isn't that pretty? It's just pure admiration. Do we know the pain sometimes involved in the flapping, in the following, what it means to be truly a follower of Christ? Did I say wherever? Did I really say that, Lord, wherever? What if I'm asked to share my faith with my neighbors? Wherever? What if I'm convicted to serve and he points to a homeless shelter? What if he wants me to adopt and he points to overseas? What if he wants me to reconcile with my mom or my dad or my spouse? What if it means saying no to living with my boyfriend before we're married? What if it means saying no to a private, quiet life of retirement? What if it means following Jesus towards a sinner that others don't want to be seen with? Let's contrast the man in Luke 9 for a moment with Jesus' request to Matthew. We read this passage in Matthew 9:9. Jesus simply says, follow me and be my disciple. Now, who was Matthew? What did he have to lose here? Matthew was a tax collector. And Matthew's sitting by his gate in Capernaum, in the northern part of Israel, around the Sea of Galilee. And he is a tax collector for the Romans. He's a Jew who collects taxes and he passes them on to the Romans. Now, he can charge whatever he wants. So as a good and bad tax collector, he charges over the top, takes the rest, gives what he needs to, and he's got a great life. He's wealthy. He's secure financially. And while some people hate him for what he does, he's got a great circle of friends. All kinds of other religious leaders, the Pharisees, the other tax collectors, the other tax collectors. He's got his own little crew. He's secure. He's happy for all intents and purposes. And Jesus says, come, follow me. Matthew displays a radically changed life in the blink of an eye in response to Jesus' invitation to follow him. He doesn't hesitate. He didn't look back. He leaves a life of wealth and security for poverty and uncertainty as a follower of Christ. Matthew's response literally echoes the song you may have sung. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. As I've talked about admiring versus following this morning, I've made mention a few times of worship. Let's talk about worship for just a moment. I don't want to be confused on some of these issues. We often think, I think incorrectly at times, that worship is the highest form of praise that we can give Jesus. We sing. We love and adore. But Isaiah 39:13 says, these people come near to me and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We offer a sacrifice of praise to God, but are told in 1 Samuel 15:22, to obey is better than sacrifice. See, we come to know Jesus with our mouth. Let's be very, very clear on this. We come to know Jesus with our mouth and our heart. Romans 10:9 tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Don't get me wrong. The following doesn't save. It is our mouth. It is our heart that saves when we confess Christ as Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. As we come to know Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God and our Savior, of course, our first response should be to worship him. Absolutely. And as our love and our appreciation for him and what God has done in our lives and in us and through us, and our appreciation for Christ grows, so does our worship, undoubtedly. However, let us, as Community Bible Church, never be content with worship in song and word. It is a wonderful piece, but only a piece nonetheless. It's not enough. Jesus fills the Gospels. God fills the Scriptures with admonishment that in order to affirm our identity as His, we obey and we follow. Matthew 12:50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Over the next several weeks, we'll be considering the implications of Jesus' call for us to follow him. Jesus did not want us to be simply amazed at his healing or to admire his teaching. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, our Savior, came into the world to save it, not to instruct it. And as he came to save us, he also came to be a pattern for those who would follow him. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Next week, we're going to be looking at the reasons that we tend to stay at a level of admiration, at some of the ways that some of the people around Jesus admired him and in some senses worshiped him without following. Oftentimes, admiration is simply a way that we can look to someone and say, they're great, that's what I really want to be, but it allows us to retain control. In 2 weeks, we'll be examining following as our response of willingly giving up everything. What did Jesus actually call for his disciples to give up, to do? How did he want them to live in response as a follower? I want to encourage you this week, as we approach our next few weeks, examine your own life. As we've already said, would you be classified as an admirer or a follower? And it may even be that there are still just certain areas of your life that you're still just an admirer and not a follower. Let's examine ourselves. Let's take this challenge seriously. Will we, as Community Bible Church, in 2013 and 14, be followers of Christ? Let's pray. Almighty God, from whom no secrets are hid, you alone know our hearts. You alone know our actions. You alone know those areas that we hold back from surrendering to you as followers of yours. Father, convict us. We pray that we would recognize our own lack of ability to follow you, and that we would rely upon the power of your Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to encourage us, strengthen us, and stretch us beyond our comfort zones in our following. Father, if need be, as painful as it is to ask, and even more painful to bear in our lives, we pray that you would break us of those areas that we refuse to surrender and follow you. And that you would change our course and our direction like Matthew. You'd make us willing, able, by your power, followers who see real fruit in our lives. Thank you for your work, your love, your care, and your faithfulness to us. In your name we pray. Amen.